swimmers, and welcome to Torpedo Swim Talk. I'm your host, Danielle Sperling, and each week we chat to a master swimmer from around the world about their swimming journey. I'm joined today on the podcast by award-winning British master swimming coach, Tony Corbin. Tony not only coaches his own wife, world record holder Jo, but as coach and founder of the South Downs Trojans Master Swimming Club, he has an ever-increasing squad of swimmers lining up on pool deck to do his sessions. What makes him so special? Well, we learn all about that today. He's so knowledgeable and passionate about master swimming, and wait till you hear some of the sets his squad does. Let's hear from Tony now. Hi, Tony. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, going really well. Where are you joining us from in England?
I live in a little village called Stubbington, which is near Portsmouth. It's a tiny little place about a mile from the beach, so we get all the benefits during the summer. It's a place we'd always wanted to live in. It's very quiet and peaceful.
Sounds really nice. And I know you just mentioned off air that you had a bit of a funny story about swimming this morning. Do you want to share with us what happened?
Yeah, I had a really tough day training yesterday and then coaching last night. Went to bed extremely tired, left my trunks on the radiator without thinking about it. Drove over to the pool at 5:30 this morning, walked in through the door, and then had to turn around, walk out, go home and get my trunks again. So things happen. So, but it gave me an easy session this morning. I left Joe working hard.
That's really good. And just for all our listeners out there, Tony actually coaches the Trojans Master Swimming Club. You swim for them as well as coach them. So when you structure your week, how many coaching sessions do you do and how many swims do you get in yourself?
Okay, well, I don't train with Trojans at all. I actually prefer to be on the pool side with all the swimmers. I don't like being in the water telling them what to do. So I train privately with Joe and one of our other swimmers, Mark, David Lloyd. I train Sunday morning, Monday morning, Wednesday morning for about 3.5-4 hours, depending on the set Joe sets us. Also, those sessions which I swim in, Joe sets the sessions, because if I do it, I'll be pooling up and down at a very slow pace, not doing anything. So I let her do it so she makes me work it. As for Trojans, we have 5 sessions a week, which I coach all of them. Monday night is a weird one because it's only in an 18-meter pool. It's very short, 4 lanes, old style school pool. So it's a bit more difficult to do decent sessions in there, but we've come up with some really innovative ideas for training there. We then have a session Tuesday night, 8 till 9, because we've got two squads in Trojan Masters. We have the competitive training squad and then we have the skills squad, who are people rejoining the sport or they've learned to swim, taught themselves to swim, public lane swimmers who want to improve their strokes. So we have the 2 squads, and apart from Friday night where the skills people, we haven't got room for them, all the other 4 sessions, we have at least a lane for the skills people to train in. So Tuesday night we have 2 competitive lanes, 1 skills. When's the next one? Thursday night we're over at a brand new pool in Portsmouth, the Portsmouth University pool, which is beautiful. We have 4 lanes in that pool. So we have 1 for skills, 3 for the competitive. Friday's back to Gosport, but we're in a 25-meter pool there, and that's 3 lanes all for competitive. And then Sunday we're over at Raven Centre again, which is 3 competitive and 1 skills. But we also have the benefit, we have an extra 30 minutes on that one with 2 lanes where we purely do starts, turns, you know, the minute little detail stuff that we want to do with smaller groups, which is really helpful because a lot of the swimmers have said the dives have been absolutely awful at competitions, and now we've started doing it, they've all improved. So
that's really good that you found time to do that, because I find with my own training we never get a chance to do that, even though we've got blocks with kickers on them and we really only use them just maybe a week before the competition. But you should be doing it, as you say, all year round.
Before competition, before we got the Raveling pool, which we've only had for about a year now, the type of training, the pool time we have, we're literally 3 hours a week. We didn't really have time to stop and say, right, let's go and do some starts and turns. And we could only do it at Gosport Leisure Centre because they're the only ones that have blocks. Couldn't do it at the Broom Park School Pool because it's really old, no blocks or anything. So we used to do the Friday before a competition, we'd have 10 minutes at the end for everybody to have a couple of dives. But now we're literally, it's every Sunday, half an hour of either all turns or all starts. And we've just invested in our own backstroke start wedge as well.
Oh, nice.
Unfortunately, it doesn't fit the blocks at Ravelin, but it does fit the blocks at Gosport. I've got to modify them slightly. Once they're modified, we can use them over at Ravelin every Sunday night then, which would be good for the likes of Joe and some of the other backstrokers we got. And to be honest, since we've got that time as well, it's the only time I get a chance to practice starts and turns. Because I, for the starts and turns session, every 3 or 4 weeks, I'll try if I can get in if I'm feeling up to it and just do the starts and turns with them. Because at David Lloyd, they don't like diving there. It's too shallow and too many people about.
Yeah, that makes sense. How many members have you got at the Trojans?
If I give you a brief history of Trojans, we only started 3 years ago, just after the first COVID lockdown. We, as masters, when we were at our port, there was six or seven of us at our former club, Fareham Nomads. And our head coach was retiring. The intention was that I wanted to take over as coach, which never happened. They decided that they wanted someone more experienced. I'm not sure why they didn't want me. And then COVID struck and five or six of us sort of stuck together going down the beach to swim in the sea. Or we went down to the Hamble River and swam up and down the Hamble River for an hour or so. And then a guy called Clive, who had started Trojan Swimming Club as an affiliated club, said, why don't you come and join us? If they aren't that interested, because they were messing us about with pool time as well. They kept changing the sessions we had. And he said, affiliate to us, we'll find pool time and we'll see if we can get you started as a club. So that was 3 years ago. And we started in another school pool, which was 18 meters. And the deepest part of it was 1.1 meters. So... And it was very hot. It was something like 34 degrees that we started. And it was so hot. It was ridiculous. But we started with six swimmers 3 years ago. Within 4 months, we moved to the other Broom Park School with the other 18-meter pool and had that for another couple of months before we got into Gosport Leisure Centre. As the pool time grew, the members started to come on board. But we basically went out recruiting all our old friends, people from our old club, contacted people we knew, said we want to be purely masters, no kids, no parents, no people in the background telling us what we can and can't do, other than Swim England, of course. So we started started pushing it. And when we got to Gosport Leisure Centre, we have three lanes alongside the public, and a couple of members from the public got interested and they joined us. And it just grew word of mouth. And virtually everybody in the club knows somebody when they joined. If you see what I mean. So it's all friends, word of mouth. And now we've got 58 members. Two are affiliated, they train elsewhere, but 56 actually train with us all the time, which is a bit of a nightmare some sessions when you get there and you've got three lanes and 20 odd swimmers turn up. And I've set a big 200 meter endurance set and I'm looking at the pool going, people are going to get lapped all over the place here. So you have to do a fast switch around and change the session quickly on the pool side before. But other days you can get only 10 there and it works brilliant.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, that's a great story of foundation that you've come so far and got so many members in such a short time. You must be a really vibrant club and offering something to all those people coming along.
But the six of us who started it all were ultra keen to do it. And then a couple of the new people who came in who were old friends or old swimmers we used to swim with, it helped that we had our chairman, Mike, came on board. He didn't initially come in as a chairman, but he came in and started training with us. Mike used to be chairman of Gosport Dolphin Swimming Club, which is my very first master's club that I started with. So I knew him from then. I used to train as a master in the same lanes as him when he was a kid. So it's like all goes round and round all the time. And we're just all good friends. And our ethos is we're a club run for swimmers by swimmers. Nobody actually gets on the committee, not more by default, but all of the committee, the chairman, everybody else are swimmers who swim in the pool. So everything we decide to do is for the benefit of the swimmers, and we don't do anything that's going to be detrimental to the club or the swimmers. We don't have arguments. We don't have parents in the background nagging about their kids not doing this, that, and the other. Anybody who's got a problem can come to me or Mike and just talk about what their training is, what their injuries are. And we just keep it all open and make sure we accommodate anybody who wants to join us.
Yeah, I love that. I think more clubs should be run like that.
It's great because when I walk out on poolside with the swimmers for a training session or a competition, we're all good friends. Everybody gets on with everybody. There's no bickering. Well, apart from occasionally Mark and Joe have a bicker about who's going to lead the lane because neither one wants to go first. But that's the nearest it gets to an argument on poolside at any one time. We just all love each other. It's a fantastic club, and God help us if we ever lose our pool time again.
Oh, I know. Well, hopefully that won't happen. I mean, obviously you're bringing so many people to the pool. They wouldn't want to take your lanes away now.
No, it's as I say, sometimes we're absolutely packed out, and it's hard work trying to get the set to work. But other times we can have some really good constructive sessions.
Yeah. How did you first get into coaching?
Well, I've been in the sport for 33 years as a master. I came back when I was 29. I started with Gosport Dolphins, a master. I got talked into coming back to it by an old swimmer, which I knew from when I was a kid of swimming. And I thought, oh, I'm a little bit fat. I play football, but I don't really play it well. I'll go along for a laugh. And before I knew it, we were sort of all hooked as a club. And the masters there at Gosport grew. And as I say, for 33 years, I was in and out of Gosport Dolphins. I left there, went to Fairham Nomads. I was part of Portsmouth North Sea, the biggest club in the area. And I've been trained by, I think it's 8 or 9 different coaches. And over the years, I've sort of picked up the good aspects of what they've done, the bad aspects, the good sets, the bad sets, and everything else. And then in about 2016, I had a massive neck injury, which basically put me out of the pool for 6 months. I had to have a huge operation on my neck where they fused all my vertebrae together. I was part paralyzed on one side. I'd lost all my strength on the other side of the body. I still to this day have problems with the strength on my right side of my body, and I've got no sensory feeling on my left hand side of my body. You can stick pins in me and I can't feel it. And that put me out of the sport for a while, and I started to think about coaching then, starting to think, do I really want, if I can get back in the water, because the surgeon said to me as well, you do know that once we operate on you, where you are now, how your body is, that's the best it's ever going to be. You'll never be able to train again. You'll never be able to swim again. You might be able to swim up and down and remain fittish, but you'll never be able to swim properly again. You won't compete at any sort of decent level. And I then started to think about coaching, thinking, well, I want to give something back. I've always enjoyed helping people. I've always enjoyed giving people advice on poolside for competitions and stuff like that because of years of experience. So I just wanted to give something back, and then I carried on training. I got back into the pool a year and a half after the operation. Started swimming a little bit, thinking, well, it doesn't feel that bad, and then pushing myself harder and harder. And you know what it's like when you start training, you think, oh, I might just do a competition because I'm going to the pool with Joe for competitions, and your mind starts thinking, I'm not moving too bad. I can swim. I won't win anything. I can swim. And then I started winning 50 fly races. Then I started winning county championships, 6 or 7 events. And I was thinking, well, the surgeons are wrong. I can do this. So I pushed myself pretty hard all the way through to 2021 when I went to the Nationals and I got bronze medal on the 200 butterfly because I've always been a 200 butterfly. And I got a bronze medal. And I thought, this is brilliant. I'm back. I can do it. Another couple of years and I'll be back winning the Nationals. And then I started to get pain in my neck again, went to see a physio friend. And the immediate advice was, stop training for butterfly. You can swim normally. The butterfly training is killing you. If you carry on, you're going to be paralyzed for life.
Oh, wow.
Because the problem with the neck injury was that I had an undiagnosed slip disc for over 15 years, which they only found when they operated on the neck. And it had gone into the spinal cord and crushed the spinal cords. So I've got half of my neck is or the spinal cord nerves are damaged or crushed or whatever. And the movement on my next fly training was basically going to cause the same damage again if it carried on. So he said, stop fly training. You can do the other sort of training, but because it's not so intense, stop fly training and just swim. And I thought, if I can't do fly, I can't win. It's as simple as that. I'm not a backstroker, even though I'm retraining now to be a backstroker, thanks to Joe. I'm bloody awful, to be honest, on breaststroke. And my front crawl is okay, but the stroke is a bit wayward and I can't do the stroke properly because my right arm doesn't move in the way it's meant to, etc. So that's when I thought, well, if I can't compete and win, I want to make people win. And that's how I basically got into training. And our old coach at Fairham, Stuart, said, well, come on poolside with me once a week and I'll sort of mentor you through for a year. And that's when COVID struck and it all fell apart after that. So once we started Trojans, everybody said, do you want to be the coach, Tony? I went, yeah, give us a go. I'll have a laugh, see what I can do. A little bit nervous, tentative at first, talking to people in a group, trying to make sure I didn't talk like an idiot all the time. And it just took off. And for some reason, they actually liked me. And I don't know why, because the sessions we give them are all awful.
We have to get into that.
Yeah.
with master swimming in Britain, do you have to have qualifications as a coach? Because I know in Australia, Master Swimming Australia have just brought in that all coaches, before this they didn't need to, but now have to have a recognised qualification for insurance purposes. Is that like that in Britain?
Yes. When I first started, I quickly, when we knew that we were setting up Trojans, I quickly got my assistant coaches certificate, which is a very quick one, particularly if you're being a competitive swimmer. You breeze through it, doesn't take very long at all. It's all done on Zoom. That didn't take long to do because at the time, Swim England, they just wanted a coaching certificate on poolside for masters. But to be honest, it went further than that, because when you start looking into affiliating the club properly as a masters club with Swim England, they insist that you have a qualified coach on poolside, and it's got to be a level two coach. You can't have just an assistant coach, because a level two coach has got to be the one who's overseeing it all, etc. So the rules said we basically had to have a level two coach. So the club said, you've got to do your level two coaching. You're happy to do it? I said, yeah, give it a go. And I did it. Luckily, I enrolled with an old swimming friend of mine called Steve Greenfield, who's a coach tutor. Absolutely brilliant guy. He swims for Basingstoke. We tried to poach him to swim for us because we need him for the counties, but he won't do it. He's too linked to Basingstoke Swimming Club. And he's taught me a hell of a lot, and I still see him on poolside now. We have great chats about different things. Normally about Joe's very poor starts and turns. but yeah, we have, and he taught me a lot and I've learned a lot. And so Swim England insisted on the coach's certificate. So I've got it now. Hopefully they won't turn around and say, I've got to take the head coaches, because there's no point for a master's club.
No, no, okay.
We've got one squad. We haven't got a structure as such. So that it would seem pointless me going through 9 months of training just to teach a load of masters how to plough up and down a pool.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, you certainly put in lots of effort behind the scenes with all your master swimmers, because happily you were just recently awarded a special trophy. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. As I say, I've been in this sport for 33 years, and when I was at Gosport Dolphins, it didn't take long after I joined them that I became the master's secretary. So I was running all the paperwork and everything behind the master's coach. Then took over as the county master's secretary for Hampshire County, because the guy was standing down, and I thought, well, I've done club, I might as well do the county. So I ran the county masters, going to committee meetings, pushing for funding for us and everything else for 3 years. I also, during that time, I ran 3 county masters championships as meet manager, and also a separate meet manager for Gosport Dolphins' own masters competition. And we made big profit on all of the competitions. They were great fun and everybody loved it. I took a step back just after that, because I moved from Gosport to Fairham Nomads, met Joe, and we sort of hooked up together. And you've spoken to Joe, you know how intense her training is, how hard she pushes herself. When I was training with Joe, it was a case of I either train or I don't train and stay on the background doing all the county stuff, etc. Because the training was so intense, and she just pushed me and pushed me and pushed me all the time. So I was literally working worn out, training worn out, working worn out all the time. So the county stuff went. But I stayed involved in master swimming. I stayed competing for donkey's years. Even when I took a couple of years break back in 2009, I still went to every competition with Joe. I still talked to everybody on poolside. Then I got involved with Fairham on their master side more when I came back to swimming. So I've known most of the top masters in the country. I can talk to them on poolside. I've known them all the time. And then, of course, we set up Trojans, and that spiraled out of control and ended up with this huge club that we've now got. And it was recognised by the Great Britain Masters Committee, because they do a trophy called the Cherryman Trophy, which is awarded to somebody for services to master swimming over the years, giving something back to the sport, etc. And last year I was at the GBs. It was a funny story, really, because we were all sat up in the seats, minding our own business. And I heard over the thing that we're now going to announce a Cherryman Award for the year. And I was looking at a friend of mine, and she was looking at me. And they read out, like, the first statement was, this is a person who's been involved in Masters years for over 30 years. And I went, oh, that's me, jokingly. And then they made another statement, said, oh, I've done that. And another statement, oh, I've done that. And with her partner helped set up Trojan Masters. I went, oh, absolute nightmare. And everybody else knew it was going to be me, except for me. So they were all killing themselves laughing. And I had to go down and stand in front of 1,500 people on poolside, but on the top balcony at Sheffield, to receive the trophy. It's like, so embarrassing.
Did you have to make a speech?
Luckily, not too big a one. They did give me a microphone. I just sort of said, thank you. I'm going to kill somebody in a minute when I get back upstairs. That sort of thing. But it was nice to be awarded it, but I just thought that I'm the sort of person who's not worried about the awards. I'm more worried about what my swimmers can achieve and what I can do for them. So
yes,
to get it nice, and it's set up on the side in the lounge at the moment. So
well, that's why you were awarded it. That's why you got it, because you are one of those people that likes to volunteer your time and your effort and stay in the background. But that's appreciated by all those master swimmers out there.
Well, I mean, even running a master's club, there's a lot of stuff goes on in the background. And even with the coaching side, is working out what to do next, going through the coaching cycles, planning it all. Joe and I sit there. I don't just sit on the poolside for 5.5 hours a week. It's when we're at home, me and Joe are always talking swimming. We're always talking about competitions we want to do and the clubs should do. We talked about what sort of session we should have planned for the week, when we're going to have the easy ones, when we're going to have the hard ones, etc. So it's ongoing all the time. And we do a lot of research. I'm forever watching YouTube, all the different. I try to avoid some of the, like, the triathlon websites, because they're not what they're teaching doesn't apply to pool swimming. Mm. But I watch loads and loads of the US and the Aussie Masters websites, and a lot of the swim coaches, just to pick up tips and ideas, training sessions, things that we can do different. And so you can see me sat there sometimes for an hour and a half watching tips on how to do flip turns, that sort of thing, just as take it back to training. So just to enhance what I'm teaching, what I'm coaching.
Yeah, I love that. And I mean, I think you're passionate about swimming, and that absolutely shines through. I'm interested in finding out what your coaching philosophy is with your swimmers.
One of the biggest pet hates I've had all my years as a coach, as my swimmer, was being ignored by a coach. Really bugged the hell out of me that you could turn up to training, particularly when you're training with the kids. And it's fair enough, because a lot of the time, the likes of me, Joe, and some others, we, in all the clubs I've been with, we trained with the youngsters, normally with, like, the top squad or whatever. But the coach's focus is always going to be on the kids. The masters are sort of in the corner, unless you're super elite like Joe and a couple of others we've had in the past. And when I was up at the top of my game, winning nationals and things, then I could be seen, I was given things to do. But I still never, as a master, probably because I was a master, got stroke correction or anything like that. So one of the things I said was, when I start, if I coach, every single person in the pool will be looked after. They will have stroke correction. They will be spoken to every single session, every single one. I make a point during the warm-up of asking everyone, how are you? How are you feeling? How's your body feeling? During the session, when it's hard, those I know want to be pushed, I'll give them a couple of pep talk to push them a bit harder. Those who don't want to be pushed, I know to leave them alone, but just ask them how they're doing. Are they enjoying the set? So I try to communicate with every single swimmer, every single session, at least once, sometimes more than once through the session. And it doesn't matter whether they're a skilled swimmer learning to swim, whether they are a master swimmer who's just got going but not really fast, not going to win anything, or all the way through to Joe and Mark. I will still ask Joe and Mark, even though that's quite scary sometimes, asking them how they feel, because the response you get can be horrendous. Sometimes, I have to be honest, sometimes you don't even get a response, you just get a look. So the main thing is, I always wanted everybody on poolside, and I make a point of doing it, to feel like they're there and they're enjoying it. I like to make the sessions fun. I want to have a bit of a laugh and a banter with everybody in between sets. I want to make everybody come out on poolside like they want to be there, not because their parents have said, get out, you're doing it. So everybody who comes to training because they're happy, they're looking forward to doing it. We vary the sets all the time. You cannot say, if you look back at our program for the last year, you could not say that one set is an exact replica of a previous set. There may be little bits of it that are different. And we try to vary the sessions all the time, so nobody knows what's coming. So, for instance, we have a sort of philosophy of structure of which days we're going to have hard sets, fast sets, endurance sets, that sort of thing, and a sort of philosophy when one of the days might be easy. But I'll flip that on its head some days, and or Joe will flip it on her head, because half the time our sessions are dictated to by how Joe's feeling. If Joe's feeling great, then the likelihood of she's training in that session, everybody else has got no choice, is going to be a tough one. But if Joe's feeling really tired, it's a good guide as to how the rest of them are doing, who are training the same sessions. So it'll be an aerobic recovery session. So I always vary it. We flip it on its head. We change things around, and we make sure that no session's the same. We try to do new things. That's another philosophy. There's nothing worse than keeps trying to bang out loads and loads of 200, which are boring, loads and loads of 400s, which are boring, which is why I go on the internet, which is why Joe goes on the internet. And when we started and had the 18-meter pool, it was a question of, what can we do in an 18-meter pool when we can't swim lots of distance because all they're doing is turning constantly? So we tried the Dave Salo program, which worked brilliant because it's a short, sharp hit, really fast, really slow, really fast all the time. And it's amazing how quickly the fitness came up with Dave Salo's program. Joe loves Brett Hawk, Sonny Trigg, those sort of people. And so she's signed up to all their podcasts and everything else and all the things that they broadcast. And she's forever stealing all their sets that they post and go, right, well, that one looks brilliant. We're going to have one of those. We'll give it a go. Swim coach Mike, I don't know whether you've heard of him. He's another one that Joe follows. But the other big one was when I had my neck injury, I got into spin cycling and turbo cycling. And so I signed up for Wahoo, Sufferlandia, whatever it's called, and the GCN cycling network. And some of the programs that you can do on a bike, I realized you can actually do in the pool. So we transferred some of the hard cycling sprinty sets and endurance sets that you can do on a bike, on a spin bike or whatever. We transferred that into the pool and adapted it so we can use the pool. And that threw a lot of people, traditional trainers, threw them completely when they were having to do some of the things I was asking. But the fitness levels went through the roof. It's particularly in an 18-meter pool. It's amazing. So we tried to change all of that. The other thing about my philosophy of coaching is skills. There's no point just leaving people plowing up and down with absolutely awful strokes making the hard work for yourself, doing tumble turns. I mean, the old philosophy always used to be was, coach, can you teach me how to do tumble turns? Well, you're doing them every session, so you should be good at it. No, I'm doing it badly every session. What's the point of me continuing to do it bad? So every swimmer in the pool, when I'm coaching or with a skills group, I will be watching their stroke or session. And anybody stroke that sort of goes off slightly or they're swimming badly, I'll correct it. I'll work hard on it. The people who join the club and want good skills, we do what we call stroke master classes. We traditionally do them at the 18 meter pool because it's ideal for that, where we do a whole session of breaking down a stroke right back to the basics at the beginning and starting again from the kick, from the flotation points, all the way through to doing the full stroke at the end. So I'm heavy on skills. I want swimmers to swim with good strokes. I don't want them to just plow up and down doing absolutely nothing. The other thing about it is always be positive. There's nothing worse than, not just at a competition, but on poolside, the coach saying, you're doing that badly. I would never go up to a swimmer and say, your stroke is bloody awful. Why are you swimming like that? I'll just look at it and go, right, I want to try and change something on your stroke today. I want you to try and angle your hand into this position, that position, or whatever. I want you to try and think about almost trying to touch your knee with your hand to get the stroke longer. So it'll always be a positive, can-do type of comment. It's never a negative. And I don't agree with ever telling people they're swimming badly. I'll tell them how they can swim better. So, and it's the same with competition. If they have a bad swim, I'll try and give them something positive out of the swim instead of saying that was bloody awful. What the hell did you do there, sort of thing. I'm not a negative person. And particularly since my neck injury, it's made me even more positive that if I can come back from something like that, then anybody can come back. It's the same with any swimmer's got injuries. I keep an eye on swimmers. With masters, you know what it's like, how easily and quickly you can get a shoulder cuff injury. People got bad backs and everything else, which is why I talk to the swimmers, ask them, how are you feeling? Have you got any niggles? Because I'd rather pick up a niggle and tell them to do something slightly different than I will let them keep on bombing away and then get a shoulder cuff injury. Yeah. So I try to avoid, and anybody who's feeling tired during the session, anybody who comes back to swimming, they're obviously going to get tired. I've set a set. If they're not going to achieve it, don't keep trying to achieve it and kill yourself and damage something or wear yourself out, put yourself off and not come back. So I would say to all swimmers, you can stop whenever you want to stop during the set. If you're blown out, if you've worked your backside off and you physically can't make the swim rest time for the next time, miss two lengths and then join back in. Have a little bit of recovery. So I never kill anybody. It's at their level that they train to. They're the ones who want to push themselves. But if they're telling me they can't make that swim rest time anymore, they've had it, then what's the point in trying to force them into it? So it's my philosophy is, have a 2 minute break, have a sit on the pool side. When you're ready to get back in and then carry on enjoying. I want people to enjoy the session. I don't want them to be hanging there and then crying at the end of it saying, I hate you, Corbin, sort of thing.
Well, I think you've got a fully formed philosophy, and I can tell that the photos that I see of your team on through Joe's social media, you all look so happy and so connected and so passionate. So whatever you're doing with them, and you're getting lots of great results as well. So it's working.
Yeah, the training's working. The philosophy, my philosophy, seems to be working. But the happy atmosphere comes from the fact that when we first started, we wanted everybody to be a best mate, our best friends. And we wanted everybody to go, I know some people won't get on that well, but on poolside, we wanted people to have a good atmosphere. So first thing we always did was the County Masters Championships is for us and for the other county teams. It's a big weekend. It's a big day. And it's a great laugh because all of our skills swimmers can enter. Because it's a level 4 meet, you don't have to be a competitive swimmer to enter it. So, and there's a team trophy. And the team trophy is super important because I've never, ever won it. In all the 33 years, and I've been in some big teams, we've never actually won the team trophy. I've come second so many times, it's ridiculous. Basingstoke have been county championships now for about the last 9 years, I think it is. And we, every year, we are determined, we want to beat Basingstoke. We haven't yet. We've got close. We're getting closer. But every time we sort of think we're getting closer, Spencer or Ollie, two of the big names in their team, seem to go out and find somebody else, or they bring somebody else through that just literally destroys us again. But we will. We're going to beat them one day. But that team spirit comes through at the county championships, and we encourage everybody to go. And so all the novice swimmers, the skill swimmers, see how much fun we have on poolside, how much fun that sort of competition is. It breeds enthusiasm. So then they come back to the pool. And because the skills swimmers train in the same session with the competition swimmers, when we're waiting to go in, they're all chatting. So that it's not two groups. They're not sort of, oh, I'm not talking to them. They're elite. They won't talk to us sort of thing. So everybody gets on. And then when we do go to normal masters competitions, other than the counties, it's often been said by the commentators, we can hear Trojans are in the house today. The loudest team on the poolside. You know, we are mega mouthy. We cheer everybody on. We cheer swimmers from other teams. If we know them and we like them, we cheer on other swimmers. You've recently interviewed Michelle Ware, and Michelle's a great friend of ours. If Michelle's swimming, I'll always cheer her. I'll always shout out before a race, go Michelle. But every single swimmer who goes down for a race, we will shout, go for it, whatever, just as they're about to get on the blocks. No one gets missed out. We always make sure everybody knows. During the race, when they announce the swimmer and the swim team, South Down Trojans, we all stand up and cheer like hell. We're well known for being the gobbiest, noisiest team on poolside. And when we went to the AP meet, the second noisiest team on the poolside was Basingstoke alongside us. And it was a case of who can outshout each other all the way through the competition. It was brilliant fun. And it's just the way we are. We're just a bunch of kids on poolside, really.
Yeah, well, that's great. I mean, that's what Master Swimming is about. That's bringing that joy that you had when you're a kid swimming. You know, when you sort of get into your teenage years, sometimes you lose that because you're so focused on the results and the competition. But I think coming back to Masters after, you know, when you're in your sort of older years, you can really enjoy it again, because it's really about racing yourself, isn't it?
It is. It's about fun. And I say to every new swimmer who's come back, when they go to their first competition, you are here for you. You're not here because your mum's there anymore, your dad's there, or you've got a coach sparking at you. You only enter the events you want to enter. We've got a couple of 18-year-olds started back with us. They came started last year. They did their first competition last weekend. And both of them, I said, what's your favourite event? Oh, I don't know. Why not? Well, Stuart always used to tell me, enter everything at the county championships, or go into an open meet, enter everything. So I don't really know what's my best, because I've always swum everything. And Tom's the same, he's with Gosford Dolphins. What's your best event? Oh, I don't know, don't know really. Well, what do you really want to do? Oh, I don't know. So we'll just enter some at the Southeast regions there. Enter what you like the sound of and fits into the programme, and then see if you like it. If you don't, at the next meet, enter something else. So it's all about swim a race that you enjoy doing. If your coach says you're a brilliant 200 butterfly and you absolutely hate it, don't do it.
Don't do 200 butterfly.
With all the kids who come back, I say to them, just enjoy the sport. It's not like a kids' meet. You're not swimming for the coach. You're not swimming against everybody else in your heat. Don't worry about them. You're swimming against you and your time. If your time's good enough for you to pick up a medal, it's a bonus. If you don't pick up a medal, it doesn't matter. I'll buy you one if you're that desperate for a medal. And so everybody goes and they thoroughly enjoy it. Once they get over the first race nerves, they just enjoy it. We enjoy it. And we have a great laugh whenever we go out.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to just dive a bit deeper into the coaching. When you are looking at your program for the year, do you do it in 3-month cycles, 6-month cycles? How do you sort of set that up? Can you give us a bit of an insight?
Generally, it's almost a 6-month cycle, because in the UK, you have the GB Long Course Championships are predominantly in June, and the Short Course National Championships are at the end of October. And that's pretty much the same, unless you get a Worlds gets in the way, so the GBs may come forward a little bit. So we work on a more long course format for the first half of the year. As soon as the long course GBs are done, or this year we've got Belgrade Europeans as well, as soon as the last big long course meet of the year is done, we'll then turn towards what do people want to do in on the short course season, and then we enter more and more short course competitions. So that it's a two cycles, and I would say that it starts early November after the short course championships. So we'll go into winter training mode. A couple of weeks after the nationals, we'll do a lot of skills sessions, a lot of aerobic sessions, not a huge amount of distance, just working on technique, loads and loads of technique work, getting people to get their stroke back in the way it was. We'll do the masterclasses, even for the elite swimmers, the top swimmers, the whole competitive squad. We'll do the butterfly masterclass, because some of them can't do fly, and you do a masterclass, all of a sudden they think, oh, I like that, I'll do it. You do the breaststroke masterclass, and the non-breaststrokers learn a lot, and it gives them more options going into next year. So we have 3 or 4 weeks of aerobic skills, and quite often a lot more kick goes in at that point in time of the year, because kick gets ignored. Everybody hates doing kicks. If you're not killing them in the pool with big endurance sets, then we'll do some kick sets just to keep them going. After that, we go heading towards Christmas. We traditionally, as a club, train right through Christmas. If the pool's open, if they let us have the pool open, everybody wants to get down the pool. So we have quite full groups over Christmas whenever the pool's open. So we will then go into heavy endurance training work with a lot of threshold sessions. So we'll mix it up, two threshold sessions, or a speed endurance and a threshold session, and then an aerobic recovery, and then we'll go back and do it again. And so we go all the way through, right the way through to this sort of period. Southeast regions have just gone, first long course meet of the year. We've now not got anything big until the Welsh Masters in March. So we're now back into the heavy, lots of 200s sessions, that sort of thing. And lots of endurance, lots of threshold, short rest, just pushing people, getting the fitness levels up, the stamina levels up, and everything else. And even the 50 sprinters, which we don't have many of, we all do the same session. They may not push the threshold stuff. They'll go into a lane where they've got more time to do it, so they don't have to swim too fast. But the 50 sprinters will pick. I'll tell them which bits is more suited to them, and say, right, you plod along at this one, doing the 200s, but go in that lane with the slower swim rest time, so you're not killing yourself. And then near the end, we'll do a couple of 50s max for you or whatever. And so they enjoy that sort of thing. During this period as well, when everybody thinks that they've had a really hard threshold session, all of a sudden they're all stopped with 7 minutes to go. They look at me, what's next, coach? Swim down and go, nope, everybody out, 50 max from a dive on the watch. And it's not just 50 max, it's I want them to hit race pace. And they have to go for it. And I sort of say, do not be scared of this. This is part of your training philosophy. If you can do 2,800 meters of a threshold session, you're totally worn out, and you get in and can push towards your 50 meter sprint best at the end of the session, what's it going to tell you when you're on poolside, you're feeling tired, but you've got a competition, you've got your 53 coming up, or your 50 fly. Just say to yourself, I did it after 2,800 meters, I can do it now. So it builds a mindset, and I'm all about building a speed mindset for competitions. So I chuck in these things. And if I'm feeling really evil, I'll chuck in a max 100 from a dive, which is even worse. So from now and through till March is the endurance side. We'll pretty much swim through the Welsh Nationals in March, and then we'll change towards speed, pace sets, lots and lots of pace sets, lots and lots of single length speed, 50 speed, 100 speed paces. For the 200 swimmers, they'll get 200 pace sets. The 800 swimmers will do the same sessions as everybody else, but I will give them target times per length for a 200 based on what their 800 time will be, what their 400 times will be. So they get lots and lots of pace sets working on 50 splits. And the couple of 800 swimmers, Helen, one in particular, she trains with us, but she also goes public sessions to get more distance in for herself. And she'll say to me, "What we've just done this, what should I do at the session tomorrow when I go on my own?" And I'll say, "Right, I want you to do 20 50s off short turnaround, 5-10 seconds rest, so swim it off 50 seconds or 55 seconds. But I want you to hit your target, your 800 target time of 46, every single one, or 44 if she's going for a 400 target time. And I want you to learn, teach your body to swim to that sort of pace. So when you get into a race, you know what 44 feels like, you know what 46 feels like. There's nothing worse for an 800 swimmer to dive in and they're getting halfway through going, I haven't got a clue where I am." So all the way from March through to the GBs, which are earlier this year, we're building the speed, we're building the pace. And then 2 weeks out from the GBs, we start the taper. Again, that's a minefield, particularly with master swimmers. Everybody has got their own idea of what their taper is. So I normally, some people I know now, new people, I get have a chat with them and say, find out how their body's feeling, try and get the body to rest. With Joe's taper is almost full-on training if she wanted it up to 2 days before the competition. My taper is 2 weeks out, I'm going to ease right back off and my distance will drop massively. And I always used to stop training, not actually get in the water for 5 days before a competition. That's what made me feel brilliant. When I got to a competition, I was desperate to swim. My body was completely relaxed. The warm-up at the competition for the first one would loosen me off, and I swam brilliantly. But said that to Jo, she'd be stiff as a board. She'd be moody as hell all week because she hasn't swum, and she'd be an absolute nightmare to live with. So it's different for every single person, and all of our master swimmers are different. Helen, the 800 swimmer, she likes to keep going right up to almost the day. Other people, the sprinters, for instance, sprinters love it because they're getting less and less meters. They're probably only doing about 800 meters, to be honest, and 600, that's a warm-up. And they will stop earlier, apart from them, maybe do a little bit more gym work. So the taper varies for every single swimmer. And I'll say, but the standard is that in the last week, my last session that I will coach them properly will be like a Wednesday if the competition starts on a Friday. But the Wednesday will be very, very easy. A couple of single length sprints at speed and maybe no more than 1,500 meters. And then we go off to the competition. And then as soon as the competition's over, a couple of weeks easy. And then from June onwards, we get into the short course season with all the short course competitions coming up. And we start it all over again. And we'll train through most of the competitions right the way through to early October with all the endurance sets again, pushing people hard, getting the fitness levels even higher. And then we go back into the same speed sessions, building up towards the nationals.
I love the way that you've described the differentiation that you've used for each of your swimmers, from sprinters, middle distance and distance swimmers. So it just shows that you are really taking into account everyone's likes and dislikes. And
when we first started and Clive had set the club up, Clive is, I think he's a young man. He's about 25. I think he might have just become full master before he was right at the 18 to 24 age group. Clive was an out-and-out sprinter. He's a 50 freestyler, doubles in the 50 fly, but he was a 50 freestyler. He's a 23-point freestyler. To him, he's a sort of like the old Mark Foster's type swimming training. 8:50 a session, and that's the session done. Doesn't want to swim any more than that. It's all done in the gym. It's all big muscles and everything else. When we first started, Clive and I had a vision that we wanted to try and have a lane for sprinters at least once a week, a lane for the middle distance swimmers, the hundreds and 200s, and then a lane for the others, the triathletes, the 800 swimmers, etc. Let them plod on. Never ever has worked out like that, because you never know who's going to turn up on a training session. You really cannot tell. The club structure doesn't help in it works brilliantly, but it doesn't help in trying to set a session specifically for a different group of swimmers, where you've only got three lanes, and the club constitution says that apart from Tuesdays, which is mega packed, so there's a waiting list of people to do it, there's designated people who are allowed to train on Tuesday. Anybody else is by invite only. If somebody drops out on the day, then the first person on the invite list can do it. Everybody seems to want to train Tuesdays. So it's always mega packed. All the other sessions where we've only got three or four lanes, if somebody signs up for four sessions a month, four sessions a week, they've basically got 16 to 18 sessions a month, and they can go to any session they want to get their 18 sessions in. So somebody, if they're on shift work, could do five sessions one week, and then the next week maybe they only do a couple, and then the next week they go back to five. We have a lot of swimmers sign up for three sessions a week, so they can come any of the five sessions if they're down as a Tuesday swimmer as well. So I can't tell when they're going to turn up. And that could work be based around their work, their kids, how they're feeling. If I've given them a really hard session one day, they may not come the next day, or they may come the next day. So I can't ever plan specifics for any one type of swimmer. So I have to try and do it more as a generic with a little bit of something built in for everyone. The ones who probably lose out the most is the 800, 1500 distance swimmers. We don't have the pool time to give them lots and lots of 400s. And if you gave them 400s and made everybody else in their lane swim 400s, because we've got such a diverse amount of age and speed, if you gave somebody a lane 400, five of them could get lapped by the fastest person. And it's constantly jumping in and out of the way. And there's nothing more frustrating than swimming along and having to keep pulled out of the way because someone's coming past it, which is why we struggle with 200s as well. If we have six people turn up, we can just about get by with doing a 200 session if the lane structure is right and they're all the right speeds. So the slowest person can push off and just about turn on their sixth length before the first person's coming in. So it gets really difficult. So the structure we've never been able to do a dedicated sprints lane, a dedicated sprint lane. So we try to structure every single session that at some point I can turn around to the sprinters and go, this bit I want you to go balls out, max, kill yourself on it. You're only doing three of these, and then you can back off and sit at the back of the lane, do what you want, that sort of thing. In fact, I hardly ever say back off, sit at the back of the lane, but they know what I mean. This is your bit. This is the 200 swimmers bit. This is the 800 swimmers bit. So we try to structure it somewhere. And also we will every now and then just chuck in a full-on sprint session, a fast-paced session. And just before nationals, we've done it twice now, and we're going to continue to do it even though everybody hates it. One of my favorite ones is to chuck in the 850s on 4.5 minutes, which are every single one has to be at their PB pace, climb out, sit on the poolside. After five, if you need to throw up, there's a bucket over in the corner, but you're still going to finish all eight. They're all on the watch, and I will be making a note of the times that every single one of you do. And I love taking that session because I am a sadist. I do like to see swimmers falling down on poolside screaming.
I'm sure.
And it does go down well. And then the sprinters then have got that one and a couple of the other sessions where it's not quite as intense, but the sprinters then get that chance to go balls out and do some really fast stuff.
Yeah.
So good plan.
Yeah, absolutely. Me anyway. Well, afterwards it's on reflection, it's good that they've done it, but I'm sure at the time they're not happy with you.
Oh yeah, they're not happy. I mean, very first time we did it was it was probably about before the nationals before that, and Joe decided that she wanted to do it, and she's a 200 swimmer, let's face it, it's not her thing. Joe decided it'll be good if we do it. It might have been Swim Coat Mines or one of those have said that before you go, it's good for building up your lactate tolerance and all that sort of stuff. So she decided we're going to do it. Every single person at the end of that session hated me for making them do it and hated Joe even more, and Joe hated herself. In fact, there was Joe, I think it was Joe and somebody else had to be helped off the poolside back to the changing rooms. Somebody else was in the toilet for a short while afterwards feeling extremely ill. And there was a couple of people sat on poolside holding their heads, not knowing whether they could stand up for the next 10 minutes afterwards.
Right.
So for me, it was great. For me, it was great. But Joe was the one who said, I want to do this. I reckon we could do this. It'd be great fun. We can do it. And then afterwards, go, never again. Never. But then we did it again. So it was worth it.
And with your swimmers' strength training, do you have much of an input there, or they all go off and do their own thing?
A lot of people do their own thing. To be honest, a lot of master swimmers don't do enough strength training. Most of our swimmers don't do enough strength training. 2 years ago, when I started to take my swimming seriously again, because when I was doing the coaching stuff, I was just going to David Lloyd, training on my own twice a week, just poodling up and down, minding my own business. Then when I got back in and started training properly, because I got the bug back, so I got in with Mark and Joe, I had to rebuild all my muscles in my body, because all the muscles down my right side had faded, disappeared with the neck injury, and nothing worked properly. So I had no muscles. I couldn't do 50 fly properly without dying near the end of it. So I thought, I'm going to write a strength training program for myself that I can work on over 6 months to 12 months to try and get all my muscles back to where they used to be. And I researched a lot of the US Masters websites, and there's a lot of good information on there. Then I spent weeks just reading detailed reports from different Masters groups, what's good for a Master, what's bad, what exercises do what muscle groups for what stroke, etc. And I come up with a big spreadsheet of all the different exercises, which muscle groups they work, which stroke they work, what you should and shouldn't do, and what's not even worth bothering about doing because it's pointless for a master swimmer. And it's not just weights, free weights. It was also the plyometric stuff, the med ball slams and everything else. And Joe was also doing some stuff for herself, because with the menopause coming on, she was heavy into the side of effects of the menopause to master swimmers. And so we took that into account as well, looking at what it does for master swimmers and the muscle loss that female master swimmers have when they go perimenopause. So we took it all into account, and I wrote a program for myself. Jo took some of that off to do her menopausal weightlifting program, as she calls it, so that she could sort of try and get over the effects. And before I knew it, a couple of younger female swimmers said they wanted to do a weight program. So I showed them what I'd done. I said, look, I'm not a weights coach. You have to make sure you're doing this correctly. It's always stress. Don't try and do it. Make sure you lift it properly. Go to the gym, get somebody to show you how to do it properly if you're not sure. Watch the internet. Get the positioning properly and everything else. But for a couple of Sundays in the summer, we had everybody around in our garden, and we went through all the weights that were on the program and made sure everybody could lift safely and do it. And the type of program we did was, it's a 12-week cycle broken down into 3-week cycles. So you do your maximum one lift weight, whatever that is. So if it was overhead lifts with dumbbells and you can lift 10 kilos on each dumbbell, you then, for the first 2 weeks, 3 times a week, do 4 reps 3 times with only 80% of that weight. Then the second week, you do 4 reps 4 times of 80%. Then when you got to the third week, you double the number of reps, but you reduce the quantity to 65%. And then at the end of the 3 weeks, you remeasure your weight, what can I lift, and you move on. If it barely changes, you just stay where you are until you get further down. So you do that for 12 weeks, and then you start the whole cycle again, see how you feel and rebuild. But you also have to fit that in with your training cycle. So if you've got competition coming up, I said to them, try and start the 12-week cycle at least 14 weeks before competition, so it works into it all the way through. So a couple of the swimmers do it. Joe's takes her bits from it, and she adds her own other bits into it. So Joe, whenever I go to the gym with Joe, because we've got a gym out in the garden, I never know what she's doing any day, because she changes it so much because she gets bored of it. She gets bored of doing the same things. Whereas I like the systematic routine of the three-week cycle. And I've said to a lot of the swimmers as well, when you get to a certain point where you think your muscles are big enough, don't carry on building muscle, because you're just going to look like a monster and you're not going to be able to swim properly. You're going to get stiff unless you're a 50 sprinter. I said, then I've written a more of an endurance program, which is based on between 12 and 15 reps, but 60% of your maximum weight. And then you just work through that endurance program for 12 weeks. And you work on, instead of 3 weeks and then test yourself, move up, it's more a case of start off on 12 reps, 3 times. And then when you can lift 13 reps each time, do 13, 14. When you get to 15 or 16 reps on that weight, then add a little bit more on and start again back at 12 and then build it back up and then go back to the beginning. So that's what I'm doing. And I'll pass it on to a couple of other swimmers as well. So that's what they're doing. So we have a sort of structure, but most masters don't like doing it.
No, no. And I think masters are time poor as well. So it is, and the priority is to get in the water. So I find myself, I aim for 3 strength sessions a week, but sometimes I only get 1 depending on what's happening with my life at the time.
If you're working, if you've got family around, you got, you know, even down to when it's people's birthdays, if you've got a couple of your family members from birthdays, 3 birthdays in 2 weeks completely messes up a training cycle.
Yeah, doesn't it?
You've got all the meals to go out with. So it's easy to get to miss sessions.
Yes.
For me and Joe runs a swim school, so she can actually plan around when she's on poolside. So Joe is, what's the word, fastidious. She is fixated in, I have to train today. I don't care how I'm going to do it. I've got to find space. This is my weights training day. This is my swim training day. I have to train. And she'll find it some way to make sure train. She very, very rarely misses anything. But that's probably why she's up there, superstar, backstroke or whatever. I quite happily can go, I have to train today. Oh, no, I've got to go and do so-and-so on the car. Damn, I missed the training session. I have to force myself more. And for a lot of swimmers, if you're working, you come home from work, you're tired, you really want to go out to the cold gym out in the garden or all the way back to the leisure centre, 30 minutes away, queue to get on all the machines. So sometimes it's easy not to get it done. And I totally understand that. I'm lucky in that I retired from full-time work 18 months ago and now live off Joe all the time. She just pays my way. I do a little swim teaching for her and I do the coaching and that's my life. So I really don't have a lot of excuse not to go out in the gym or to turn up to training 3 times a week. But I still, if I'm not feeling it, I'll find an excuse.
Look, everyone that comes on the podcast, I love to ask them the deep dive 5, which is a bit of a snapshot of your swimming, but I've made yours very focused on the coaching side of things. So I wanted you to give us your best freestyle drill.
Right. Best freestyle drill, which is the one that I want all my swimmers to do all the time, is to work on the EVF. EVF works. Before I started coaching, I'd never even been told by a single coach in 30 odd years about EVF. I was old school swimming, your hand went in, it went through some sort of cycle underneath the body and came out the other end. And that was all I ever taught. And that's how I swam front crawl. And I was even taught to swim front crawl, so it came down the center of the body line and everything else. When I then started learning about coaching, I suddenly found out what EVF was and all that lot. So my favorite drill, and nearly every single one of our sessions that we write has drill in the warm-up or drill somewhere through the session. We always have a drill section. And I always say to all the front crawlers, if you're doing front crawl drill, I want you to do what I call the EVF drills, which is, if it's 100 meters, 1 length with fists, 1 length with just the finger sticking out, thinking about turning the wrist down, 1 length with 2 fingers, turn the wrist down, 1 length with 2 fingers and a thumb, turn the wrist down before you start the... That's my favorite one. And I love watching it, that whenever they start the drills, I can look in the water and nearly everyone who's a front crawler is doing the EVF drills that I like. So they listen and they actually say it. I also say to them, whenever they go to a competition, if they're once in the warm-up pool, get your first 400 or 300 out of the way and then do a couple of 100 meters of drills. And if you're a freestyler, do your EVF drill, because it really puts the mind in the right place. So when you're swimming your race, you've got your arm in the right position, your hand in the right position. So that's my favorite one.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
And it works. I mean, chip drills and all that lot, they all work, but to get the stroke in the right position for the rest of the session, I prefer the EVF drill.
And how about your favourite backstroke set for a backstroker?
3 200s backstroke at threshold level, really pushing her, and then chucking maybe 3 100s at threshold level again to work hard, and then maybe 850s backstroke at speed right at the very end of it to try and just to make her get that mindset going.
And how about your favourite breaststroke drill?
The big thing that I want to emphasize on breaststroke is at the end of every cycle, finishing as flat as possible on the water, arms and legs fully outstretched front and back. So the drills I like to do, and it's a traditional one anyway, is like two kicks or three kicks, one pull. But at the end of every kick, I want people to glide for 2 or 3 seconds in their head with their arms and legs fully stretched, flat on the surface so they're not sinking before they go into the next cycle. So it's pull, kick, glide, kick, glide, and then back to the pull again. That's the one that I like. I want to try and emphasize using the power of the kick and the glide at the end of the kick, because so many swimmers will start pulling and they've lost what they've done. They start pulling too soon, they've lost what they've done on the kick. And it's pointless. So.
And how about a butterfly training set?
My favourite set is really simple on butterfly, is 12.50s on 1.15 or 1 minute. When I was younger, I used to be able to do 12.50s on 1 minute as a 200 flyer. So I'd be going about 45 seconds, 15 seconds rest and go again, just keep on going. And it's more about repetition, short repetition without the stroke breaking down. The problem with butterfly is the stroke breaks down once you get past 50 in training. If you do a load of hundreds, you're just swimming poor butterfly and wearing your shoulders out. So you're better off doing 12.50s off a minute or a minute and a quarter with perfect stroke. And the whole thing is emphasis on do it perfect stroke. And even now when we do, if we do flying training or part of the medleys, I'll say to the weaker fly swimmers, push off the wall, do your underwater phase, break into your stroke, swim as many strokes perfectly. When you can't do it perfectly and you're going into a hanging out position or whatever, do single arm or do front wall. Next time you do it, try and go an extra stroke and keep on pushing yourself till you can do a whole length with perfect stroke. But to be a 200 butterfly, you have to be able to swim it with perfect stroke. You can't let your stroke fall apart. So the only way you can do it is to train perfect stroke. And so everything is shorter distance on butterfly, not killing yourself.
Which British Olympian should we be watching Paris Olympics this year?
I love Tom Dean. I really enjoy watching Tom Dean because you never know which way he's going to go. I mean, the amount of times he's been not the favourite behind Duncan, Scott and whatever, and he's come through and he's muddled him out of the pool or whatever. You're just not sure what you're going to get. Plus, he's a Southern lad, so you have to support the Southerners, not the Scots. He's ginger like me, so you have to support the ginger lad. So it's all right like that. After meeting Mr. Petey at the Adam Petey meet, I really wanted to get back and achieve it again this year. Whether he will or not, whether he can get back up to the top level, that's up to him and his mindset. I hope he does. It'd be nice if he can at least push him at the top end.
Well, Tony, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. It's been delightful talking to you and hearing all about what you're doing over there with the Trojans. It's great.
Lovely. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Okay, then. Take care.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks to Tony for joining us on the podcast today. He's kindly sent through 2 of his sessions to try out. If you want to get your hands on those, just drop us an email at torpedoswimtalk@gmail.com and we'll send it through to you and pop you on our newsletter list. Till next time. Happy swimming and bye for now.